in New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her tell she stands for liberty for you and me. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be men with a brain and a free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and a statue of liberty. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross with my Lord raised to the sky, and all who kneel there live forever as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be made with a ransom and hope as the statue liberates the citizen. So the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was dead and my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty.
It's our privilege to have Dr. Gipp with us. If there's ever a patriot that loves America, it'd be Dr. Sam Gipp, and we like to encourage him to just come right ahead and preach. And thank God for Brother Gipp and his stand for America. You want to know how he stands, go to his website. You know, well, you know where he stands, but even more so. Amen. You're standing right there.
I don't need that. I've never preached on an ice cream cone. I don't know how this works. I want to need one hand to hold this, one hand to leaf through stuff, and one hand to hold my Bible open, and one hand to catch everything that blows away. So you pray. And so I'm really glad to be here today. I want to thank all you people for coming. It's good to see you, but I want you to know this hurts like crazy. Thank you very much. That'll work. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I got to tell you guys, I love this country. I love this country. I loved it before I got saved. And I loved it after I got saved. I loved it even more when I studied a little bit of its history. Because I told you, I was so lied to in public school. I was so lied to about, that it was a God-neutral country, that it was founded by a bunch of deists, that God was, we were told the whole thing was about money. Isn't that what they're always talking about? It's the economy, stupid, and it was taxation without representation. The cry in the streets during the revolution was, no king but King Jesus. That's got nothing to do with the dollar bill.
Right.
All right? And so I'm going to read you a couple of verses here, and I'm going to talk about your country a little bit. And then we'll be done. It says this in verse 7, for what nation, Deuteronomy 4, 7, for what nation is there so great that hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, and hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Let's pray. Father, I thank you now, God, for your goodness and your grace and your very great kindness. God, we do thank you, Lord, that we could be in this country. Father, if we have got to wait for your return, this is the best place to do it. God, I do pray, Lord, you know, I guess if Americans are afflicted with anything, God, it is that we are a nation of spectators. We're used to sitting and watching. And dear God, if America's going to be saved, we cannot sit and we cannot watch. And so, God, I pray that something will be said tonight that will energize and help your people live for you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, you know, forgive me for preaching with a hat on. If I didn't have this hat on, by this time tomorrow I'd have a head cold. And I'm flying tomorrow morning. I don't know if you ever flew with a head cold, but that's an exciting proposition. You change altitudes, you think your head's going to blow up. That'd be not much of an explosion in my case, but still. I want to talk to you about the country you live in. You know, Americans are proud of their country. You know, one of the things I try to tell people, you know, really, we did not invent patriotism, but we perfected it. Okay? We really did. We have got a flag that we can be proud of. You know, I'm serious. I have to laugh when I see some countries, you know, they wave their flag like they're doing something and like they got something to be proud of, and they have nothing to be proud of. And what's happened is because Americans love their country, all these other countries say, oh, yeah, we have to love our country. Well, we love our country. We can start talking today about what it's great and be talking for a week. And those guys go, well, our country's great. Our country's great because, well, our country's great. No, it's not. But this one is. And this is a great country. Americans, you know, I don't care, guys. Look, I told you, I like football. I'm not that sold on or sold out to the sports idea. But I don't care if it's a baseball game or a football game. You watch those Americans, brother, when they sing that national anthem. I don't care if it's this guy that looks like he, you know, a leftover hippie from the 60s with a beer belly out in front of him. When they play that national anthem, Americans love this nation as a whole. I'm talking about the lost love this country and the saved lost this country. Love this country. And so I'm going to talk to you about the country. The first thing I'm going to tell you about our country, this is the best country in the history of the world. All right? Please understand, I am not a thief. I am not trying to hip check Israel out of the picture. I do not believe that Israel was God's chosen people and no longer are. I believe Israel is God's chosen people today. I think that as the time of the Gentiles winds down, we're going to see God bless Israel again. God's going to use Israel again. But there has never been a country like this one right here. There has never been a nation that has been good to every nation on the face of this earth. I can't prove it, so I won't say it. But I think I would probably be safe to say there is not a nation on this earth that has not benefited in some way by this country right here. Even the nations that hate us. You know, I remember a few years ago, Russia was small-time stuff as far as communism as compared to Albania. Albania was one of the staunchest. It was almost like the Nazis were in Germany. Albania is one of the most close-watched communist countries in the world. And when Albania had an earthquake, who helped them? The United States of America. And every place you turned in this country has helped the nations. I was talking to a fellow, a young guy in the Army, and I said, where are you? He was getting ready to get deployed. This was several years ago. And I said, well, where are you going? And he told me the name of some little African country. We probably got more people in this pavilion than they have in the whole country, you know. And he told me the name of this little African country, and I said, do we have a base there? He said, no. I said, is there a war there? He said, no. I said, well, why are they sending you there? He said, my job in the military is to build water purification plants. He said, that's what I do. He said, in the Army, we build water purification plants so that our Army has good water to drink. And he said, our government is sending us to that African country to build two water purification plants so that that country will have pure water. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That goodness about our country came from this book. You understand? The goodness of America came from the Bible. I want you to know this is the best nation that ever has been. This is the best nation that exists right now. As far as other countries, this is one country that does not always think of its self-interest. In fact, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Nobody is justified in hating the United States unless they hate good and unless they hate God. This country has helped nations. This country has helped people, and it has let its own self-interest go to the side, and it has just done something for other people. So you live in the best nation that there ever has been. I'm going to read a couple of things from this again. If you have one, you don't have to look at them, but they're in here. A couple of things about, here's something George Washington prayed. I like this. Try this. See if you can find a deist to pray this way. Almighty God, I beseech thee, my sins remove them from thy presence as far as the east is from the west, and accept of me for the merits of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that when I come into thy temple and compass thine altar, my prayer may come before thee as incense. And as thou wouldst hear me calling upon thee in my prayer, so give me grace to hear thee calling upon me in thy word. For his sake, who lay down in the grave and rose again for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Guys, this thing has been Christian from out of the gate. You understand? It has always been a Christian nation. I read what the House Judiciary Committee said in 1854. I'm going to read what the Senate Judiciary Committee had said the year before. He said, this is the Senate. I'd like to hear him say this today. We are Christians. Now, guys, I understand that when somebody says they're a Christian, that doesn't make them a Christian. Okay? I understand that people say, yeah, I'm a Christian, or they think they're a Christian because they're American. I know that a real Christian is not only somebody that's saved, but according to Scripture, somebody that is saved and serving the Lord. All right? It says the disciples were called Christians. But what he means when the Senate says that is that this nation acknowledges the God of this book and no other holy book and no other God. We are Christians not because the law demands it, but from choice and education. But they, talking about the founders, had no fear or jealousy of religion itself, nor did they wish to see us an irreligious people. They did not intend to spread over all the public authorities and the whole public action of the nation the dead and revolting spectacle of atheistic apathy. That was 1853. You know what they said? They didn't want anything to do with atheism. In fact, listen to what Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin was a deist. Ben Franklin probably went to hell. He was good friends with one of the greatest preachers of his day, George Whitefield. Ben Franklin's probably burning right now. But God used him in the founding of this country. he wrote a tract, not a gospel tract, but he wrote a tract when he was the ambassador to France that was called For Those Who Are Thinking About Removing to the United States. In other words, if you're thinking about moving to the United States, there's some things you need to know. And this is what he said. He said, bad examples to youth are more rare in America. Couldn't say that today. Bad examples to youth are more rare in America, which must be a comfortable consideration to parents. To this may be truly added that serious religion under its various denominations is not only tolerated but respected and practiced. Atheism is unknown there. Infidelity, rare and secret. So that persons may live to a great age in that country without having their piety shocked by meeting with either an atheist or an infidel. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's people that hate our country that have changed the words of what he said. And today we have the infidels, we have the atheists, we have the infidelity, we have the immorality, and there are enough things in this country to corrupt every kid here. You understand? But I'm telling you that this is a good nation, and it has a good, it's the best nation there is, and it's populated by the best people. Now, if you want to know who those people are, go look in a mirror. I'm telling you are the best people that have ever walked the earth. I say that because nobody else is going to say it. The news media is not going to say this. You know, I travel around the world, and you hear the news media, they have this this statement, this description called the ugly American. And they talk about the ugly American, that this ugly American goes around the world and he's demanding and pushy. You know that is not true?
You know that around the world, Americans are loved and Americans are accepted and Americans are considered the can-do people of this world. Whenever an American shows up, you know what everybody knows? They know that, their life is going to be better because an American showed up. I go to the center, we're like your pastor's sister is over there in New Guinea, and I go into the jungles of New Guinea, and in the middle of the jungle of New Guinea, some American guy goes out there, here's these people living in a grass shack, he builds a 3-bedroom house, puts in a generator, catches rainwater, and then the first thing they do is set up an infirmary, and they help every single person in that village. That's what Americans do. Americans are the best people there are. Listen, no nation has ever been so willing to allow its 18-year-old kids to go and shed their blood for the freedom of somebody else. In many cases, like we see in Iraq, shed their blood for the freedom of a bunch of people that don't even understand it, appreciate it, or can even keep it. The reason Iraq can never be the nation this is, because until they get rid of their stinking false god, they're never going to be a nation like this one. And I'm telling you, this is the best country, and it has the best people. I'm just going to read some of these preambles. Listen to this. If you want to know how far from God this country was as these states came online, this is just Alabama. It says, "We the people of the state of Alabama, invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God, do ordain and establish the following constitution." Hey, I am ashamed of something our president's been doing since 9/11. Ever since 9/11, instead of saying the Judeo-Christian ethic, that this nation is founded on the Bible of the Jews and Christians, he's been popping in the Muslims. I want you to know something, guys. There were no Muslims on the Mayflower. You know how you know that, don't you? It didn't blow up. Look, we owe the Muslims absolutely nothing. Do you understand that? I'm talking about the ones in this country. We don't owe them respect. We don't owe them honor. We don't owe their God any. We don't owe their God anything. It's a bad God. Here's one. Through divine goodness, all men have come by nature the rights of worshiping and serving their Creator according to the dictates of their conscience. Delaware. We, the people, grateful to Almighty God for our civic and religious privileges, establish this Constitution. Kansas. Now, here's a bunch of, religious bigots. We, this people, this state, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of freedom, establish this Constitution. That's a little-known state called Michigan. That's your Constitution. Every Constitution of every state in this union acknowledges only one God, the God of that book. Now, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Our silence is giving this country to people that hate it. I know nobody wants to be involved. Nobody wants to get in a fight. Nobody wants anybody to be upset. Nobody wants anybody to dislike them. And I'm telling you, they are turning our nation to false gods. We are the best nation that there ever was, and we are the best people that there ever are. I understand that Americans are bad. You have to tell me that. But I'm telling you, there's never been a country like this one. Listen to what Samuel Adams said. Now, listen carefully. If you know what's happening in this country right now, a general disillusion of the principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. He said, as Americans, if we rot inside, he said, he'll do more damage than any conquering army or attempted conquering army. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. You understand the insight of what he said? This guy knew that this nation could be invaded, and not from somebody externally, but internally. And I'm telling you that the greatest enemy that this nation has today is the news media. Our Constitution guarantees us a free press, and our press has been a slave to the guys that have taken the news media. It's been a slave for 100 years. I'm telling you, you're the best nation. This is the best country, the best people, and we've got the best God. We have the best God there is. Do you understand that? You know what I always say, what I point out about other gods? All of the gods of the heathen are angry. The one thing that all of the religions have, their God is angry and everybody has to be afraid. You understand? I don't care if it's paganism. Oh, the river god is mad, so it overflowed its banks and flooded our village. Oh, the rain god is mad. He wouldn't let it rain on our crops and we had a drought. Oh, the volcano god is mad. Throw in two virgins and call me in the morning. All of the gods of the heathen are angry. How many of you are Roman Catholic? Not many? Let me tell you about what Roman Catholicism taught me. They said that Jesus Christ was so, this is the word, angry with us, with me, because of my sin, that I couldn't speak to him. I had to talk to his mother, and she would take the message. Because all of the gods of the heathen are angry. You know what your God is? Your God's gracious. Your God is merciful. Your God is slow to anger. Your God is long-suffering. Your God is ready to forgive. You understand that? Your God is not kind. Your God is of great kindness. That's what the Bible says. I'm telling you, your God is holy. Your God is good. People, you know what you've got to do? You have got to get jealous for your God. Do you understand? You have got to be jealous for the God of this Bible, for the God of this country. I got two grandkids, and we got another one coming up in October. I don't know what country those kids are going to grow up in. I don't know what the nation is going to be like that they grow up in. I only know this. That nation is in my hands. You understand me? It is not for them to do anything. They're just babies. We've got little children here. And these kids, what nation are these kids going to grow up in? People, I'm telling you, we have to take a stand, to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about our God as opposed to all of the other gods. You know, I think of the Hindus. Somebody said they got like 3 million gods. Could you imagine you had to give each one of them a dollar? And it's a third world nation. 3 million gods, and it's one of the filthiest places on earth. 3 million gods. You know what that means? My God is over 3 million times better than whatever they got. I think of this Allah jerk. And now listen, you know what that God does? That God takes the basest there is of man and exalts it. Those people are good at murder. They're good at rape. They're good at destruction. They couldn't build a model plane. Who brought out the vaccines that have cured the world? People that followed that book. Who's helped the nations of the world? People that followed that book. That God, their God, hasn't brought one good thing into this world. You know what is the difference between the God of this Bible? He is not only gracious and kind, but he exalts man. I don't mean he tells you have a lot of good self-worth. That's not what I mean at all. The God of this Bible, when you get into this book, you know what it does? It steps you up. It pushes you to be better. What Islam does is it takes the worst man can do and sanctifies it and says it's good. You know what this book says? This book starts out by saying you're a rat. This book starts out by telling you that you are wicked. You are so wicked. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's where that book starts out. And then, come on, people. I'm telling you, every single person in this room, in this pavilion right now, you are better today than you were the day you got saved. Some of you were thieves. I mean, you were drunks. You were dopers. We don't even want to know everything that was in your life. You say, what happened? It wasn't religion. It was the God of this book. And the God of this book can take a maniac out of a cemetery and put clothes on him and have him sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and then go back into his hometown and tell everybody about what Jesus Christ did for him. Because when Jesus Christ shows up, when he leaves, everybody is better for it. If they were blind when he shows up, they can see when he leaves. If they were deaf when he showed up, they can hear when he leaves. If they were palsied, they walk out carrying their beds. He even ruined the funerals that he attended. Because the corpses went home with their families. He's been better any time he showed up. Do you understand? Don't you back down on our God. Don't you let anybody walk on our God. Don't you let anybody put any other God and even pretend that it might be semi-equal with our God. This is the God. You understand?
Amen.
He's been good. He's been good.
Yeah.
And every one of us, we're better for having known Him, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, guys. We can't sit and watch TV. We can't sit there and just watch it all and say, somebody needs to do something about it. No, no, no. Let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you this, and I'll be done. I hate this illustration. I hate this illustration. Two reasons. One, because it was back in the days when I went to barbershops. I was in a barbershop. Now I go, but it's just for nostalgia. I carry a comb. See? Yeah. You know what? Every now and then I pull it out and I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I put it back in my pocket. This poor thing's so lonesome. I was at a barber shop, and this really helped my thinking. And this guy's cutting my hair. And that doesn't take a long time. He's cutting my hair, and there's two guys sitting here. And they're right about where that first row is. I'm in a barbershop chair, two guys sitting there, and this big guy comes in. Big guy. I mean, he not only looked like a lumberjack, he had a red and black plaid shirt, just like some old lumberjack, big burly guy. And he sits down right there next to these two guys, and he had a booming voice. And he's talking, and while he's talking, all of a sudden he goes, and Jesus Christ Almighty. Now, let me explain something, guys. I agree 100% with that statement. But he was not making a doctrinal declaration. Now, let me tell you about the coward you got speaking for you when he said that. You know what I did? I went to prayer. I went to prayer and I said this. Oh, man, listen. You need to pray. Because sometimes God will bring back what you said this and let you know how stupid it was. And I prayed. Here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, please don't let him take your name in vain again. Because it hurts me when I hear him take your name in vain. Now, I told you, the problem with prayer is you don't always get voicemail. Sometimes he responds. Sometimes he responds immediately. Man, he was right on the end of the line. He must have been waiting for it to ring. You know what he told me? He said, hey, stupid. He said, it's my name that he's taken in vain, and it's me that it bothers, and I've got you there to stop him from upsetting me. I'm not here to stop him from upsetting you. Oh. I didn't want to hear that. But isn't that what we do, people? Listen, you know what happens? You get into a situation, and your God is being belittled, and you know what you do? You ask God to stop that. Don't you understand? You're the one He's got there to stop that. So this guy's talking again. Now you understand. Well, this guy, he sounded off the second time. Jesus Christ Almighty. Now, when he sounded off the second time, that's when I got scared. The reason is, you got to know yourself. I know myself. I'm one of those third times charm guy. He's done it twice. And this guy ain't going to get done soon enough with my hair. And I know if this guy sounds off a third time, I am going to say something. I don't care if him and his brothers are all there. They hate preachers and they're looking for one to punch out. I don't care if third time. So the second time, I really went to prayer. And I prayed something like this. Okay, how about a mild coronary? You know, maybe the rapture. I mean, get me out of here before I'm reading tomorrow's headlines. Preacher killed in barbershop. I can't prove this. I'll find out when I get the other sign. I'm not sure the Lord didn't prod him. But I'm sitting in a barber chair, and this guy, third time, Jesus Christ Almighty. I didn't think, honest, I did. I'm telling you, third time, I don't care about nothing. I'm going to walk over there, and I had a plan. I was going to keep hitting him in the fist with my face. And I was going to wait until he was tired, and then I was going to spring. I tried that with a guy one time. Somewhere in that process, I passed out. But anyway, when this guy said it the third time, I went, Bud, do you know Jesus Christ? You talk about bringing silence to a barbershop. I mean, this guy over here, he's looking over there, he looks over at me. This guy here, this guy, I watched the color come up in his face, he's red as his shirt. The barber is thinking about all of the thousands of dollars of damage that's going to be done. He's thinking about the blood he's going to have to scrape off the walls. And this guy turns beet red and he goes, what did you say? I said, do you know Jesus Christ? I can't say that I do. I said, I do.
I said, he's the Son of God. I said, he died on the cross for your sins and mine. I said, he's my Savior. I would appreciate you using his name that way.
Amen. I guess I don't have to talk that way. I said, I know you don't. And suddenly my haircut was done. I looked like somebody out of Dick Tracy, you know. This side was short, this side was long. It started a whole new style. Bob, that barber, he got me out there, I didn't have to charge no nothing. He just went me out of the shot. But you see, here's the problem. You know what the problem was? I had the same affliction that all of us have. Number one, I don't mean this bad to you guys. I am a coward, and so are you. And when we get into a situation like that, we are afraid for ourselves. And we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be injured. We don't want to have to take a stand. We don't want somebody to dislike us. And so what we do is we duck our own responsibility and ask God to do the very thing that he has us here for. I'm going to tell you one more and let's go. You know what he said in Genesis chapter 18 about Sodom? He said, I'm going to go down. I hear the cry of Sodom. You know what Sodom and Gomorrah were like, right? Somebody in Sodom and Gomorrah didn't like the way it was. And they were crying to heaven. You know what they were probably doing? They're probably saying the same thing some of you say in your prayers, God, do something about the way America is. It wasn't God's job to do something about it. It was their job to do something about it. And when they ducked their responsibility and they said, God, will you take care of it? The very people that prayed it died. You understand? Now, I'm warning you guys, and I believe this. You know what we do? We see something wrong in our country, and because we're cowardly, we say, God, please take care of this. You may not like the way he takes care of it. Do you understand? You may bury your grandchildren after he takes care of it his way. We had better do our job. We had better take care of it. We are here for that. You understand? That's what he's got us here for. He has got us to take a stand for the Lord. And if we don't take it, and we say, well, God, you got to do something about this, and you got to do something about that, and God, you better take care of this. You don't want him to answer that prayer, because you may say, okay, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. We may not like all of the open graves when he takes care of it. So, guys, we got the best nation. We really do. It is populated. What did Thomas Jefferson say? He said the Bible, and this guy was a deist, he said the Bible is the source of liberty. He said the Bible makes the best people in the world. Not the Koran, the Bible.
Right.
This is the best nation. It has the best people. I want you to know we have the best God. And we are an army. I'll give you this. You know, we took that country. I can't remember when we took Iraq, when we beat them. 93, 95, I don't know when it was. We went in there, 2003. That we went in second time. And right now, our nation, our army is an occupying force in Iraq. Right? The war is over back in 03. But do you remember about 6 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, they had a major push. They went into Fallujah, and there was major battles in Fallujah. This happened in a nation that we'd already beat. Every now and then, those who are to occupy till he comes have to have a battle. You understand? He called us an occupying army. Occupy till I come. We are occupying. But every now and then, guys, we're going to have to go to war. Now, look, when I say go to war, I just want to make this clear. We don't blow people up. We don't burn buildings down. We don't kill people. You understand? We don't do that. But we have got to at least take a vocal stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. An unapologetic stand. And quit worrying about offending the enemies of our God. This is the greatest nation, guys. But it's going to take us to keep it that way. It really is. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you now, God, that you would let us be in the United States of America. God, this is not a great nation. This is the great nation. God, this is the only nation in history that chose you as their God. Even Israel didn't do that, God. You chose Israel. But no nation at its inception has ever chosen you as their God but this one. Every nation on earth was pagan, God, and had to be Christianized. Only this one started out Christian and had to be paganized. Now, God, I'm going to ask you to bless these people. I know they're probably just as scared to do stuff as I am, Father. I know that.
And they probably say, what can we do in our little part of the world? But their little part of the world is what they're going to have to claim for you. God, I'm going to ask you, help them get a little ugly. I'm going to help them. I'm going to ask you, God, help them to be just a little jealous for you. Help them to be vocal. God, I see people in our churches, they give our pastors more trouble than they give the devil. God, help us, if we're going to be a problem, help us to be a problem to those that hate you. Bless these people, God, please. Bless these people. Bless their efforts on your behalf. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand. I'm thankful to be an American, as the choir sang, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a saved American. Let's sing a little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. When you think about being saved, be thankful that you are an American, a place where you could hear the gospel. And every city, nearly every city in this country, every county anyway, undoubtedly has a gospel message somewhere close by. And let's sing it in out of gratitude and thanking God for saving our souls. If you need to come and pray, come get saved yourself. Come just rededicate your life to the cause of Christ and standing for the truth and for Christianity. Would you come as we just come and kneel around, or just sit at these front seats, or kneel down at these benches and say, Lord, thank you for letting me be an American. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for doing in my heart what you've done. Help me, God, to be the kind of Christian American that you want me to be. Would you do that as we sing? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Are you going to take a stand at work, your neighborhood, your community? For making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. There's something mighty sweet about you. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the people say. It really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. Let's sing it, that same song, but let's say it really doesn't matter what the liberals have to say. Amen. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the liberals say. There's something mighty sweet. Can we make up another verse, Brother Matt? It really doesn't matter what the Democrats say. That's what Mrs. Green said. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the Democrats say. Something mighty sweet. No, we're not going to go there. The media says, there's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. It really doesn't matter what the media says. There's something mighty sweet, Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us. Stay right here with us, filling us with your love, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, and for these blessings, we lift our hearts. We lift our hearts with praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived. When we shall leave this place. been a good meeting. It's been a great 5 days. And appreciate Brother Gip stand he takes for our country, for the Word of God, and just for Christianity. It's been a breath of fresh air just to be rechallenged and rejuvenated. Amen in our hearts. Amen. We don't have to